The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the Hi FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
It hasn't been an easy time with me this morning, I have to say.
I hear that you've been a little angry.
No, a lot angry.
Yes, not a little.
Yes, David, well, don't start with this whole psychology thing, a little angry. You seem to be a little angry. No, David, it's obvious. It's not that I seem to be, I am.
You know, Howard, I'm so happy that you brought this up, because just like anxiety, I'm like a, I don't know, I'm like a cheerleader for anxiety, because it's got such a bad name. You know, when people feel anxious, you know, you want to get rid of it immediately. And the same thing when it really serves such an important purpose, like all feelings do.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, we need to take note of it. We need to take them seriously, because they are telling us something. They signals to us. And the same thing with anger. You know, when people say, and I do blame us, you know, I think we need to blame maybe even ourselves. I mean, I say ourselves, psychology,
yes,
and self-help books. Because whenever we talk about anger, everyone's, you know,
if you're angry,
you're out of control. You know, you really should, you know, it's much better to be in control than feel anger or show your anger. And I think for me, again, I think that's a really dangerous message to be sending. And you have every right to be angry, but I think there's a very, very big difference between, you know, I think this is the point, is that anger is not an emotion. Anger is an emotion, sorry, not a behavior. And that's very, very, very important
to
keep in mind.
Wait, hold on. Let's just understand this.
Let's
just write that down as a quote for the day.
Yes.
But hold on. No. David, when I'm eating an entire slab of Top Deck on my own and not sharing, is that a feeling or is that an anger? or is that behavior?
Howard, you love chocolate. No. But I think for me, again, Howard, we're not supposed to be talking about, you know, we can do that over coffee.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. No, but the question is this, and I often talk to parents, younger parents in particular, where they've got this notion that I think is really a false notion. They must always talk to their children in a very soft and gentle voice, and they must never be angry. I think that's wrong. I think we teach our children that certain behaviors make us upset and they make us feel angry. And it doesn't mean that we're going to hurl them against a wall, but we actually can show our anger sometimes.
Anger is not the same as hostility or violence or even aggression.
Right.
And I think it's so important to keep in mind.
I love that.
And I think, you know, I think it's so important when someone feels angry, we need to listen to that. We need to understand what's happening. It's a very important emotion to feel, and we need to validate it. I think, you know, because fear can, you know, I think for me, I mean, very important when it comes to anger. Anger is a natural response. It can actually be, it's not a poison. It can actually be a fuel, you know, so really what I'm saying is that, for example, I think, you know, you haven't had electricity for a good 18 hours. And again, so, you know, all the self-help books maybe are giving the message, not all, but a lot of self-help books give the message that you need to, like, really just kind of contain your anger and to almost, like, you know, repress it. But it's not the case. The point is that you have got every right to be angry. And often what's behind anger is a fear and a fear of, you know, and a fear of vulnerability.
Mm.
And so I think for me, it's important to listen to that.
Because what I felt was totally out of control. I had a quiz night with many people, including kids that were excited about it. And we were going to do this at 7:30. Everybody was, the dress code was pajamas. Like, it was really going to be an amazing thing. So I felt like I was letting so many people down because of this. So there was that aspect of it. And then there's the impotence, the fact that there is nothing that you can do other than sit and wait for the incompetence to find the problem and to fix it.
Yeah.
And in fact, for a situation we shouldn't be in the first place. And we are only in because of incompetence. And I'm cold.
Well, I think it's so important what you're saying, Howard, because the bottom line is that, you know, if we take a step back and we say, you know, people who, often we hear this, people who are angry are going to get sick. You know, people who repress their anger are going to be sick. That, you know, you've got to, you know, you shouldn't repress it. But on the other hand, when people are very angry and show like aggression, then we kind of criticize that. And that is actually the two extremes. And I think for me, the important part is to understand that absolutely, you've got every right to feel angry. Why are you feeling angry? But that's where I'm going to kind of say to you how that actually, what are we going to do with the anger? Because anger is a valid emotion. We don't want to repress it, but it's not, anger is not violence. So what are we going to do? And I often feel that we should use anger, in the most productive way, which is to be motivated to use it for something productive. And so I would say in your case, Howard, not at all. You know, I'm sorry, this sounds like a little bit of a lecture. I apologize. Howard, you have got, what can you do with this anger? You have got a voice. You have got a platform. And I would say, let's use it. And would it make changes to Eskom overnight? Maybe not. Probably not. But will it spark debate? Will it spark maybe hopefully productive debate? Absolutely. So we're not talking about, you know, absolutely solving the situation overnight, but using that anger. So it's not about repressing it, and it's certainly not about going out and showing aggression or violence. But how can we use this anger in a productive way? How can we use it as a motivation? And I think for me, that's the point is that you can. And, hopefully I'm going to see an article in, News 24, which is going to spark debate and is going to maybe even have, productive, consequences, and productive, suggestions on how we actually deal with the situation. What can we do to make the situation better? And, It's not about, as I say, it's not about being unrealistic, but we can, today we can change Eskom, and we have the power to turn the lights on tomorrow. But really it's about channeling that emotion, because that emotion is a very, very important one and a very powerful one. So let's use it. It sounds like a superpower. Let's use it for good and not for evil.
Yeah, Zanatia, your thoughts?
I actually love that, channeling the anger into something that is, constructive and productive. The article example, is a great idea. And I think that's what all of us need to focus on, is that, yes, you can be angry and you actually do need to feel the anger and remember why you felt angry in the first place so that you can change, your situation. So I think it's a brilliant idea.
It's also interesting to me, because I always understood anger to be one of the most basic emotions, and that it's never really about anger. It's always about all the other stuff that underlies it. Is it always important to understand what is underlying it?
I think absolutely. I think it's very difficult to, because when we feel emotion, it's a scientific kind of process. It's a biological process. We actually move further away from thinking when we feel. And that's really what, we talk about emotional maturity. We talk about kind of being more mindful, is really developing that skill, that ability to actually stop, which is very difficult because it's a physical response. You've got, these chemicals running through your body.
It's definitely
a
physical response. And it's so interesting, because like Bern says here, Howard, the serenity prayer would be great. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So Bern, that's all very well today. I can tell you, if somebody gave me the serenity prayer last night, I would have turned to violence. Yes, I'm not a violent person, but I would have taken that top deck that I was eating and shoved it where the sun doesn't shine, I can tell you.
Yeah, that's the point, Howard. Spot on. Because the bottom line is that, and I think it's a good suggestion to try and, you know, to center yourself and try and, but the point is that maybe that is giving you the message, like, just calm down, Howard. Just calm down and pull yourself together. And that's not the point of the anger. The anger is to say, right, what am I going to do with this? I'm allowed to be angry. I'm sitting in the dark. We've had, you know, lovely things canceled. I pay my bills.
Yeah.
You know, what the heck is going on? Yeah. And I'm going to now, and I can feel this, and I'm allowed to feel this, and then to, maybe if possible, you know, if we practice to say, well, we're also, I'm also feeling a bit vulnerable, as you said, you know, and disappointed. You know, what happens if the lights don't come on? Well, that's going to have huge consequences, you know, for me. But the bottom line is, what am I going to do about it? Mm. And I think that's actually the sadness of what's happening in America at the moment, just to look at it on a macro level. You know, when we think about, Black Lives Matter. Right. I think for me, you know, this is a real, real source of anger, and understandably for so many people in the world.
So that's frustration turns to anger.
And people, the huge majority of people, from what I can see, you know, and I'm just the layman looking at things from, you know, from the ground, that the huge majority of people, black, white, colored, you name it, are actually channeling their anger in a very, very, very productive way. And yet.
Your dog isn't. Your dog isn't.
He's agreeing with that. You know, that's what happens when you're at home, you know.
Right, exactly.
Them in. But I do think for me, you know, the most important thing is that it's so sad when people in authority then point out, you know, and try and make it about a, you know, just an expression of violence rather than that there's a message behind it, because there is such a powerful message behind it. And the majority of people are actually channeling their anger in a very positive way.
David Abramson, it's 8:24. We'll be back with you just after this. Before we do that, taking a look at some of your messages. Charles says, Howard, as you channel your anger against Eskom, you'll also get hell of a frustrated as well. And I think that's also a very good point, is knowing, you know, when you're setting yourself up, I guess, for more. And Kathleen says, I heard that one of the hospital's generators didn't go on during load shedding. Can you imagine how frightening it must be for those on ventilators? Kathleen, I haven't seen that. If you can give us some information about that, I would appreciate it. David Abramson, psychologist in a private practice, talking about anger. How do we deal with it, given, especially at the moment, David, where we're all on lockdown, we are all stretched in terms of emotional capacity. We are dealing with things that we didn't think we would possibly deal with just a short few months ago. It's not difficult to be pushed over the edge.
Not at all. And I think, you know, I think all of us, I would say, and I know that's quite a statement to say, but I would say 100% of us are feeling something in relation to this, and are struggling in some way, you know, whether your anxiety is up or your mood is down, you know, to a greater or lesser degree. It would be absolutely abnormal to not feel anything at the moment, because as you're saying, our lives have been turned upside down. And with anger, you know, again, it's as we say, often behind it there is vulnerability. There's a sense of feeling unsafe. There's a feeling of unpredictability, and loss. You know, I know I saw your article yesterday, Howard, which I thought was excellent around loss.
And I quoted you
also. That's not why I thought it was good, but I thought it was an excellent article, because loss at the moment is something also we're experiencing, and can also, because it's a vulnerable feeling, can also make us feel angry. And I've seen, you know, again, you know, people getting very angry at the moment, you know, about, you know, especially about, you know, the alcohol being banned again, you know, for sale. And people are feeling very, very, very angry. And we see, again, there's vulnerability behind it. So I think for me, again, you know, and I know I've said it, but I think it's worth saying that, to ask, is anger a destructive force of violence? But it's not. I think violence is a destructive force of violence. So it's very, very important that we can see that anger can be a motivating force. And so when we do get angry, let's use it as a motivating force rather than, you know, just immediately associated with something negative, so if we repress it, or we see it as something which is bad because, you know, that means we're losing control, because it doesn't mean we have to lose control when we get angry. I mean, we can eat chocolate.
a whole slab of Toptic that we don't even like. We don't even like Toptic. That's the thing, David. That's what made me angry, is that I ate and I wouldn't share. I wouldn't share.
That's the thing, because I'm like, why wouldn't you even leave it for me, Howard, in the morning?
Nutty.
How?
I would not share that Toptic. And as I say, I don't even like Toptic. That's the worst part about the whole thing.
I could just see you, Howard, sitting at the table eating a Toptic going, damn you, Eskom, damn you.
I did. That's exactly, that is exactly what the scene was. It is 8:30. David Abramson, thank you for keeping us sane, or at least doing your best to keep us sane. I know that it is not a simple. We'll catch you next week. Unsigned says, absolutely love the Morning Mayhem, and please, Speedos and Crocs forever. This is from a fan of Howard and Zanati. Bless you both for your great entertainment.
Join psychologist David Abramson with Howard Feldman every Thursday after 8 a.m. for The Vital Statistics of Mental Health. The Vital Statistics of Mental Health is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.